Hello, everyone, and welcome to
The Power of Me, where I ask what positive change will you make today? And to remind you that before you can love others, you must be able to love yourself. Before you can do good in the world, you must do good for yourself. The Power of Me will help you with that goal. Write in and ask to be a guest. Share your experiences with what is keeping you up nights. Learn the key to relaxation and love through repetition and meditation. And listen to a bedtime story with a good moral. Today, I have with me one of my subscribers. His name is Tom. So, Tom, I have some changes. As you can see, first I'm starting with video, but I've also changed the name, and the name is now going to be The Power of Me. What does The Power of Me mean to you?
The ability to go through day-to-day life with just what you've got from inside.
That's so perfect. I love that. I love that description. That's wonderful. Yeah, and to me, it also means the good that you can do out in the world, that you should be doing out in the world. And it starts with first doing yourself some good. So tell me, you're one of my subscribers. Why is it that you've subscribed to Inspire and Tire, which is now The Power of Me?
I really enjoy the stories that you tell and the calmness that you bring throughout the end of my day and just the relaxation I get from it.
Great. So everybody has gone through some type of adversity. You know, when I do my podcast, I'm always giving ideas as to how people can better their lives. But what I want to start doing is actually hearing from my viewers and having them tell me what type of adversity, what is it that's actually keeping them up at nights or is troubling their mind at the current time. Is there anything that you would like to share?
Just how the world is changing and how everything has become so expensive just to even exist.
Yeah, that's very difficult. And what have you found that actually helps you to calm down? Because I've been giving tips, but I think everybody has their own little tips at work, and I'd love to hear yours.
Sometimes just doing nothing more than things around the yard, anything physical kind of calms you down. Different things. I actually work on cars too, and that sometimes helps as well.
That sounds great. So we're going to start with some relaxation and get you into the mood for a bedtime story.
Sounds good.
What we're going to start off with is when you go to bed, you should always go to bed thinking of something positive. Don't trouble your mind with things from the day. Rather, go ahead and try to clear your mind and only think of positive. And the first thing we're going to do before we even get into that mode is we're just going to relax ourselves. So I want you to close your eyes. And when your eyes are closed, I want you just to feel relaxed. I want you to go ahead and loosen all the tension that you have in your eyebrows, in your forehead, in your eyes, in your mouth, in your shoulders, your chest, your arms, your fingers, your torso, your legs, and your toes. And I want you to try to keep your mind clear. The next thing that I want you to do is to start to talk in a quieter voice, because quieting your voice will go ahead and quiet your mind. And when you speak, I want you to tell me of five adjectives that you think of when you think of yourself. And these have to be five positive adjectives.
Clear my mind to start, think of something positive.
About yourself.
About myself. That's a tough one, Lise.
And you know why it's tough? Because a lot of people either get bombarded with a lot of negative during the day that they can't readily think of something positive about themselves, or they're so busy doing for others that they forget to do for themselves.
they forget to see the beauty that they have in themselves.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that 100%. Positive. Let's go with caring, helpful. That's only two, huh?
And if it's tough, we could just start off with three.
Yeah, let's go three, Lise.
Okay, so what's the third?
I did helpful. Giving.
Okay, so you have caring, helpful, and giving. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so with your eyes closed, I want you to say those words over and over again. Caring,
helpful, giving.
Caring,
helpful, giving. Caring, helpful, giving. Caring, helpful, giving.
And now do it with the softer voice. And when you do it, I want you to imagine that you're looking at yourself and you're in front of a whole audience and they're all saying this about you.
Caring, helpful, giving. Caring, helpful, giving. Caring, helpful, giving.
And now quiet your voice more.
I don't know if I know how to. Caring, helpful, giving.
And now, just like you're trying not to wake someone up.
Caring, helpful, giving. Caring, helpful, giving. Caring, helpful, giving.
Perfect. You should do that every night. And before you get out of bed, do the same. So you end each night and begin each morning feeling good about yourself, wiping away all the negative that the world and other people may have given you. Because only when you feel good about yourself can you do good for others. And you have that power in yourself to do the good for you, and the good for others. Now, for all of you who are listening, I'll have a moment of silence where you think of three words that describe you. And I want you also to say it to yourself. In the meantime, Tom and I will be quiet while you do that. Okay, Tom, as you know, I always read a story, a book that I got from the library called The Book House, Up One Pair of Stairs, and it's a book from the 1800s with different bedtime stories. So I'm going to pick the first one and read it to you now, and hopefully that will help to relax you. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay, and this one is called The Cap That Mother Made. Before I read the story, what do you think this might be about? It's called The Cap That Mother Made, and it's a Swedish tale.
An article of clothing that was made by a loved one for either a grandchild or a child.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. I was thinking about something about the loving embrace of a mother that is worn by a child so it blankets them from all the harm of the world. But we'll see what it's about.
Okay.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Anders, and he had a new cap. A prettier cap was never seen, for his mother herself had knit it. And who would ever make anything half so nice as a mother? The cap was yellow, except for a small part in the middle. And that part was blue, for there had not been enough yellow yarn to make it at all, and the tassel was also blue. And Anders' brothers and sisters walked about admiring him, and then he put his hands into his pockets and went out for a walk, for he was altogether willing that anybody should see how fine his mother had made him. The first person he met was a farmhand walking beside a cart loaded with peat and bidding his horse giddy up. When he saw Anders' new cap, the farmhand made a bow so deep that he nearly bent in double. But Anders trotted proudly past him, holding his head up very high. At the turn of the road, he came upon Lars, the tanner's boy. Lars was such a big boy that he wore high boots and carried a jackknife. But oh, when he saw the cap, he stood quite still to gaze at it, and he could not help going up close to Anders and fingering the splendid blue tassel. "I'll give you my cap for yours," he cried, "and my jackknife besides." Now this jackknife was a splendid one, and Anders knew that as soon as one had a jackknife, one is almost a man. But still, he could not for all the world give up for the knife the cap which his mother had made. "Oh no, I could not do that," he said. And then he nodded goodbye to Lars and went on his way. Soon after this, Anders met a queer little lady. She curtsied to him, and her skirt spread out about her like a balloon, and she said, "Lad, you are so fine. Why do you not go to the king's ball?" "Yes, why do I not?" thought Anders. "With this cap, I am altogether fit to go and visit the king." And off he went. In the palace yard stood two soldiers with guns over their shoulders and shining helmets on their heads. And when Anders went to pass them, they both levied their guns at him. "Where are you going?" asked one of the soldiers. "I am going to the king's ball," answered Anders. "Oh, no, you are not," said the other soldier, trying to push him back. "No one can go to the king's ball without a uniform." But just at this moment, the princess came tripping across the yard and dressed in a white satin gown with ribbons of gold. "This lad has no uniform, for that is true," she said. "But he has such a fine cap, and that will do as well. He shall come to the ball." And so she took Anders by the hand and walked with him up the broad marble stairs, past the soldiers who stood on every third step, through magnificent halls where gentlemen and ladies in silk and velvet were waiting about. And wherever Anders went, all of the people bowed to him, for as like it or not, they thought him a prince when they saw what he had wore on his head. At the farther end of the largest hall, a table was set with long rows of golden plates and goblets. On huge silver platters were piles of tarts and cakes. The princess sat down under a blue canopy with bouquets of roses on it, and she bade Anders to sit in a golden chair by her. "But you must not eat with your cap on your head," she said, and she started to take it off. "Oh, yes, I can eat just as well with it on," said Anders, and he held onto it with both of his hands, for if it were taken away from him, he did not feel sure he could ever get it back. "Well, well, give it to me," begged the princess, "and I will give you a kiss." The princess was beautiful, and Anders would surely have liked to kiss her, but not for anything in this world would he give up the cap that his mother had made. He only shook his head. Then the princess filled his pockets full of cakes, and she put her own heavy gold chain around his neck and bent down and kissed him. "Now, will you give me the cap?" she said. Anders moved further away in his chair, but he never once took his hands from his head. And then the doors were thrown open and the king himself entered, accompanied by gentlemen in glittering uniforms and plumed hats. The king wore a mantle of blue velvet, and he had a large gold crown on his head. And when he saw Anders in the golden chair, he smiled. "That is a very fine cap you have," he said. "So it is," said Anders. "It is made of my mother's best yarn, and she knit it herself, and everyone wants to get it away from me." "But surely you would like to change your cap with me," said the king, and he lifted his shiny golden crown from his head. Anders said never a word, but when the king came nearer to him with the golden crown in one hand and the other hand outreached toward the beautiful cap, then with one jump, Anders was out of his chair. Like an arrow, he darted out of the hall, through the palace, down the stairs, and across the yard. He ran so fast that the necklace the princess had given him fell from his neck, and all the cakes rolled out of his pockets. But he had kept his cap. With both hands, he clutched it tight as he ran back home to his mother's cottage. "Well, Anders, where have you been?" cried his mother. And so he told her all about what had happened. And all of his brothers and sisters stood, and they listened with their mouths wide open. But when his big brother had heard how he refused to give up his cap in exchange for the king's golden crown, he cried out, "Anders, you were foolish. Just think of all the things you might have bought with the king's gold crown. Velvet jackets and long leather boots and silken hoses and even a sword. Besides, you could have bought yourself a much finer cap with a feather in it." Anders' face grew red, very red. "I was not foolish," he said. "I could never have bought a finer cap, not for all the king's crowns. I could never have bought anything in all this world one half so fine as a cap my mother made for me." Then his mother took him up on her lap, and she kissed him. What do you think of that story?
I said it brought back memories of my grandmother who used to knit us sweaters.
Oh, that's so nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really agree with this. It's like sometimes people get caught up in all the materialistic things, and they forget that the things that are closest to them are the things that were given to them by those that they love.
Absolutely. The simple things sometimes are the best.
Yeah, they really are.
Well, sweet ones, I'll let you sleep. But before I do, I want to say that off camera, Tom, my guest, told me the story and our talk has inspired him to continue to do good in the world wherever he can. More specifically, he plans to talk with one of his siblings and tell her that she hasn't attended any family events in such a long time, and she is truly missed. He wants to let her know how much she is valued by not only him, but by the entire family, and how his brother's cookout will not be as joyous of an event without her. And to let her know that whatever she decides, he just wanted her to know he loves her. He said this is so important for him to do because he feels that sometimes we forget to not only value ourselves, but to those we love. And rather than taking for granted their bond, he wanted to reach out and try to strengthen it. I am so thankful for people like Tom and for people like you in this world. I cannot wait to hear what good you will do in this world, but for now, it is time to sleep. Good night, sweet one. Good night.